Well, happy Father's Day to you, and I hope you have a great day with your family and your friends enjoying the goodness of God. We're in a very brief series from the book of Ruth, and today we've come to the second chapter, so I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn there, and if you don't have your Bible with you, it'll be on the screen in just a moment that you can read along as I read from chapter 2. Let me give you the backdrop in case you missed last Sunday. A man named Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two children, sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left Bethlehem, the house of bread, because there was a famine in the land. And they moved to Moab, which is east of the Holy Land, across the Dead Sea, in what's today Jordan. Now there was a famine in the land. There was a material famine. There was no food to eat. But there was also a moral famine. It was the day of the judges, and the last verse of the book of Judges said that every man did what was right in his own eyes. And so this story is capsulized in the middle of the time of the judges. That's Act 1. Act 2 finds the whole family in Moab. Elimelech dies. His two sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. And after a little while, both of the sons die, leaving only Naomi and her daughters-in-laws. 10 years passes, and Naomi hears, that God has visited his land, and that once again Bethlehem is in barley harvest, and the grain is flowing, and food is abundant, and so they return. Act 3 is the return, when Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws part company. Orpah goes back to her homeland. Ruth cleaves to her and says, I will go with you, and your people will be my people, and your God will be my God, and where you die, I will be buried, and more than that also happens to me if aught but death part thee and me. And then suddenly they're coming back to Bethlehem. They're received with quite an uproar. And Naomi says, I went away full, but God has brought me home empty. And she describes how God has chastened her and dealt with her. Looking for a feast in the far country, they found three funerals. Looking for a home, all they found were graves. And so she's come back to the breadbasket, the house of bread. And I said last week that sinful choices result in severe consequences. And you cannot make a choice and you alone be impacted and influenced by it. Elimelech decided to take his family into the far country, and everyone in that family suffered as a result of that. But as they return home, God has something very providential and very purposeful in store for Ruth and for Naomi. So we arrive at chapter 2. Chapter 2 finds Ruth abiding in the fields of grace. The whole of the book, all four chapters, represent the romance of redemption, how God irresistibly draws us to himself, gloriously saves us by his grace, keeps us and secures us and supplies our every need. And then beyond that, redeems us not only for this life, but in that life to come, eternal life. So I'm going to use five words this morning that describe the kind of grace God exhibited in Ruth's life. Five adjectives that give us the characteristics of divine grace and how God purposefully sprinkles that grace upon our lives more than sufficient. Number one, you've heard this often, amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. But how does amazing grace respond to Ruth's need? Well, Ruth went out into the fields. It so happened that it was the field of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, or if you're not familiar with that term, the closest relative who could bring her into the family. And there in that field she gleaned, and there in that field she prospered. And one day the owner of that field, named Boaz, came from Bethlehem to the harvest field. He said to all of the greeters, "How are you doing?" And all of the greeters responded to him, "We do well." And then he asked a question, "Who is that?" Let's read our text together, chapter 2. Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young men, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is that young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here, eat some bread, dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to be roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied. She had some left over. When she arose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. She beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Mother-in-law saw what had been gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you should go out with his young women, lest in another field you might be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Let me pray for us. Father, the chapter is filled with the romance of redemption. Help us to draw from it that we might appreciate the good news of the gospel and all that it has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amazing grace. Why, that's the first adjective, the descriptive word that we line up with the word grace. Grace is amazing. Why so, you ask? Well, let me answer that. When Boaz said, "Who is that?" the servant said, "She's the Moabite woman who returned with Naomi." If I were to say to you, this is my friend from Mexico, this is my friend from Europe, this is my friend from Israel, you probably wouldn't bat an eye. You'd just introduce yourself and you would know who my friend was. But it was not quite that way hundreds of years ago in the time of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. In fact, the Moabites were the enemies of the Israelites. They were the immoral offspring of Lot and his incestuous relationship with his daughter after Lot escaped from Sodom and Gomorrah. So the Moabites lived on the other side of the Dead Sea in today's Jordan. And when the Moabites were mentioned, it was said of them in Deuteronomy chapter 23, "They shall not enter the congregation of the Lord." They were an off-brand. They were the enemy. They were a people the Israelites had absolutely nothing to do with. That's why last week we spoke about sinful choices. Here was a man who moved away from the breadbasket into what was called in the Isaiah passage a washpot or a trash heap or a garbage place. They move from the breadbasket into the land of the Moabites. And when the servant was asked to describe the young woman in the field that Boaz asked about, he said, "Oh, she's just a Moabite." And now look a couple of verses later. Boaz walks to her and says, "My daughter, you're in the right field. You're doing the right thing. I've asked the men not to bother you, and I've placed before you all of the grain that you will need." Suddenly, in an instant, this young woman, Ruth, went from being a condemned stranger to a part of the royal family. You get that? Does that jar your mind just a little bit? Once I was lost in sin, and suddenly Jesus came into my heart, forgave my sin, cleansed me, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, made me fit for eternity, and in an instant I went from being a stranger to a friend of God. I went from being a Moabite to one of the family. I went from being an outcast to one who was invited in. That's what grace will do for you, and that's why it is amazing grace. Well, let me give you another term to describe grace. Grace is abundant. Abundant grace. If you were to look at verses 8 and 9, you would discover that in these verses, all that Ruth needed and more was given to her by her relationship and fellowship with Boaz. Paul says, "The exceeding kindness of God has been shown to us through Christ Jesus." I want you to look at direction first of all. Ruth came home wondering and wandering. She came home wondering what was next. And she came home to wander until she found a field where she could glean some grain that they might exist on. But all of a sudden, it's not a field and some grain, it's the field and all the grain that she was needed. It's not about her looking for a field, it's about Boaz saying to her, "This is the place. These are the people where your direction is set, and if you will stay here, all that you need and more will be supplied for you." I once was lost in sin. I had no direction in my life. I was hopeless. I was on the broad road. Jesus describes it that way. I was walking in my own energy and by my own fleshly pursuits and desires. And Jesus came and found me, and he brought me into his presence, and he lavished abundant grace on me. He set my direction in the right place. He set me on a solid rock, and he established my goings. That's what abundant grace will do. But it was not just direction. Look, it was protection. He said, I've told the young men not to rebuke you or reproach you. Stay away from her. She's mine, Boaz said. You know what Jesus did? When he died on the cross, went to the empty tomb, broke forth from the tomb alive forevermore, during that period of time, he looked the devil right in the eye and he said, don't touch one of mine. All that the Father giveth to me will come to me, and I will in no way cast them out. They are mine. And then he turned to me and he turned to you and he said, and you are secure and safe and satisfied because of who I am and what I did on the cross for you. Oh, listen, Boaz said to the men, don't touch her. Don't rebuke her. Don't reproach her. She belongs to me. I am the kinsman redeemer. But it's not just about direction and protection. It's about satisfaction, too. This is one of the most beautiful parts. He said, and oh, Ruth, when you get thirsty, you don't have to look for a well. You don't have to draw up your own water. He said, I've already made enough provision for you to where you'll never thirst again. And I get chill bumps because he repeated that throughout the scriptures. If any man thirst, let him come to me, and I'll give him water to drink that he'll never thirst again. And out of his inmost being shall flow rivers, not drops, not a stream. Not a brook, not a creek, rivers of living water. Ruth, you will never thirst again. Grain to eat, water to drink, and security because of my promise and my power over all those that surround you. That is abundant grace. Now, let me give you another word to describe grace. It's astonishing. Grace is absolutely astonishing. She's overwhelmed in her heart. She says, oh, tell me why I, a Moabitess woman, have found favor in your sight. Now, he doesn't go into all the explanation of that, but here's what was true. She was a Moabitess woman who did not deserve favor. But because Boaz and Elimelech had a relationship, Boaz and Naomi had a relationship. And because Boaz and Naomi had a relationship, and Naomi and Ruth had a relationship, she was directly united with the kinsman redeemer. She didn't have to do anything, she just had to be who she was. And that's exactly how God found you and God found me. We didn't have to do anything except be who we were, a sinner in need of a Savior. And God found us in our sin and brought us unto Himself. And to me, that is astonishing. What have I done, Lord, to deserve your favor? And He says, it's just because of a relationship that you've been brought to me. It was not only an overwhelming thing to her heart, it was an overflowing thing from her heart. When you read these next several verses, you will see in her a true desire to please him, a true desire to follow him, a true desire to compliment him, a true desire to give herself to him. And that's exactly what happens to a true born-again believer. We want to follow. We want to praise. We want to exalt. We want to give ourselves to our Redeemer. We want to give Him the honor and the glory and the praise forever and ever. Astonishing grace. Listen now as I speak of alluring grace. Grace that draws us in. Like a mighty magnet, God draws us unto Himself with alluring grace. It's about noontime, and Boaz sees all of the men lay down their sickles, lay down the sheaves. They gather together in the shade, and they begin to eat, and they begin to drink, and they begin to rest. And Boaz says, "Ruth, come, sit beside me. Here is some grain. Dip the grain in the cup of wine that it will be soft to the palate, and sit beside me and dine." Every time the communion table appears in our altar, every time we pass the bread and the juice to those of you who come to the Lord's table, you are communing with your Lord through the grain and the shed blood, through the body and the blood of Jesus. You are communing with your Father. What a picture of intimate relationship and fellowship. He draws her unto Himself. She sits with all the young women, not in the midst of the men who have worked all morning, not eating the grain or drinking or resting, but out of all He calls her name, He draws her unto Himself. The invitation to intimacy becomes the privilege of intimacy. She sits beside Him. She eats of the grain. She drinks of the cup. And together they fellowship, and she rests in who her kinsman redeemer really is. There ought to be some shouting Baptists in here this morning. For anything you have and anything you are resting in who your Savior, Jesus Christ, is. Any hope you have of heaven, any hope you have of hope or help in this life is in Jesus Christ your Lord. You cannot do it by yourself. You cannot will it to happen. You cannot make it happen. We don't deserve for it to happen. It's all in Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. Oh, His grace is alluring. It's like a mighty magnet that draws us unto Himself when we neither thought we could or never thought we would and didn't even know we should. And He calls our name. And then there is this other. In fact, it's the title of today's message. It's abiding grace. Boaz had a threefold providential purpose for Ruth. First of all, he wanted her to receive the divine life. Wow, what has changed in her life? A widow who's wandering from Moab to Bethlehem, wondering what was going to take place when she arrived. And now, sit near me, the kinsman redeemer. Eat of the bread and drink of the cup, and enjoy a fellowship and a relationship you never knew was possible. I want you to enjoy the divine life. I think also he said to her, I want you to be refreshed because of the depleted life you've had. It took days to come from Moab back to Bethlehem. The reason for leaving Moab was a famine there, just like the reason 10 years earlier for leaving Bethlehem was a famine. There is really no telling how long Ruth and Naomi went without a good, solid meal, without laying their heads down and resting in security and safety and satisfaction. Ruth's life had been a frightening, terrifying life. Leave my country, leave my people, go home with my mother-in-law to a land where I've never been, to a people that I do not know, to a culture and a custom I've never experienced, and to a God I have never worshiped or served. The unknown must have been terrifying to her. And Boaz thought to himself, I not only want her to experience the divine life, I want her to experience fullness and satisfaction in the depleted life. All that she's lost, I want her to regain. All that was taken from her, I want to give back to her and more. The providential purposes of Boaz was to replenish the depleted life, for her to receive the divine life, and her to retain a delightful life. When we read about the fact she was satisfied, it doesn't mean what most of us mean when we use the word satisfied. We could, with street talk, say it like this. Oh, I'm satisfied. Well, are you great? No. I'm just satisfied. I'm just okay with it. It's mediocre. But he lavished who he was and what he had on Ruth until the word satisfied in this language means she was overwhelmed with the goodness and the grace of her kinsman redeemer. It was as if I gave you $1 million and you could not believe it. It would be as if you were dying and your hand was touched and you were whole and alive again and perfectly well. She was satisfied. Every need she had, every problem that existed, every thought of poverty that came into her mind, every time she thought, what's next and how will I make it? He suddenly said, you are going to make it. Don't worry, fret, or have anxiety. I will see you through. And then let me tell you, to me, one of the most touching things of all, she came home to her mother-in-law and she gave her testimony. She said, you're not going to believe it today, Mom. She said, as I was searching for a field, I felt magnetically drawn to one such field. I ended up on that field, not knowing for sure if it was the right field or just a field. But one man came along. His name was Boaz. And Boaz said to me, daughter, you're in the right field. You can stay right where you are. And all that you need will be supplied. And when you get thirsty, you can drink from the water the young men have drawn. And I'll make sure nobody reproaches or rebukes you or harms you. I'll give you safety and satisfaction. And Naomi, you won't believe it, but lunchtime came. And he called me. He called me. Out of all the young women, he called me. And I sat by him and I communed. And we broke bread together and we dipped it in the cup. And we rejoiced and relaxed in one another's company. And a bond was formed. And Naomi says, oh, my daughter, Boaz? Why, he's kin to us. He is so near in kinship that he is a redeemer. And then here's the conclusion. Ruth turns back to Naomi and says, and he said to me, not to them, and he said to me, you stay right here in my field until barley harvest is ended, and I'll take good care of you. And that's what he said to me. You trust me. You walk in faith. There will be trials and troubles, but I have rebuked the devourer. I have told the enemy to stay away. I will feed you and satisfy you. I will bless you, and it will be more than you've ever imagined it to be. And Lord, how long shall it last? Until the end of the harvest, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised and the living saints are raptured, and you come home to be with me forever and ever and ever. Abiding in the field of grace. That's where we are. That's where we are. And our kinsman redeemer watches over us every instant of the day. Let's stand. If you've never trusted Christ, you know nothing of what I've spoken of. Trusting Him changes everything. It moves you from a field to the field. It moves you from a future to the future that your Redeemer has planned for you. If you've never trusted Christ in these moments, this is the time to come and let a pastor talk with you. Perhaps you need to become a part of our church family. We'd love for you to come today and become a part of us. And maybe your life is somewhat depleted. Maybe you've been laboring in the field on your own, and the energy of the flesh has wearied you, and you're burnt out. And you need to come today and say, why should I dig a well when the water is so nearby? Why should I continue to strive to harvest the grain when handfuls on purpose have been left for me? I tell you, you trust Him with your salvation. Now, child, trust Him with your life. Trust Him with every day and every hour that goes by. If you've trusted Him for all eternity, trust Him now. Then in this moment, He will meet your need through His riches in glory. Pastors, come quickly if you will. We'll sing a verse or two of this song of invitation and encouragement. And as God speaks to your heart, please be obedient and respond. Come now as we sing. There.